the Fanatics Baseball Show. Philadelphia's top baseball experts. Scene setters from the ballpark. Game time lineups. Pitching matchups. And your calls. Live from the Fanatics Studios. Here's Andrew Zalchunas.
Well, good evening. Welcome into the Fanatic Baseball Show. I am your host, Andrew Zalchunas, taking you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5. The Fanatic, 11 games remaining in the 2019 regular season for your Philadelphia Phillies. A tough loss yesterday. They win the series in Atlanta, but they lose game three in every single game from here on out. It's must win at this point, right? Like, that's, I've been hearing must-win situation for the last 40 games, and they just don't seem to come through with it. But they did win the series in Atlanta. Now they get set for a three-game series in Cleveland. They begin that series tonight. And now, for sure, every single game is must-win, if you guys really want to call it that, because they have 11 games left. They're four games out. The Brewers won yesterday. And the Brewers, I said this last week, last Friday when I went over the Phillies schedule and I went over the Cubs schedule and I went over the Brewers schedule. The Brewers had the easiest schedule out of those three. Now, what the Phillies have not done all season long, the Phillies have not been able to beat up on teams that they are supposed to beat. They haven't done it all year. That's why they have a below 500 against the Marlins. That's why they are right around 500 against teams like the Pirates and the Reds. You name it. The Padres. You name it. They haven't beat up on those teams. What the Brewers are doing right now is beating up on those teams, and that's why the Brewers are currently the second wild card team. And even the Cubs, they're just right out of it. The Cubs have beat up on those teams this year, and that's why the Phillies are behind them. That's probably going to be one of the biggest storylines this year is the fact that they couldn't beat up on their on weaker teams. And there's a very interesting tweet that I want to read to you from Corey Simon of NBC Sports Philadelphia. He will be joining the Fanatic Baseball Show tonight at 6:30, so make sure you stick around for Corey tonight. But here's a tweet, and this should get you angry. Again, this should get you angry because I go back to that White Sox series where they lost that series. They had that 15-inning game. I said that the Phillies would not make the playoffs after that series came to an end when they lost. The Phillies are 18-17 against the following teams. The Marlins, Pirates, Rockies, and Padres. Those are the four worst teams in the National League. The Marlins, the Pirates, the Rockies, and Padres, they are one game above 500 against those four teams combined, the four worst teams in the National League. The rest of Major League Baseball, when you combine their records, is 104 games above 500 against those four teams. That is going to be one of the biggest storylines when we dissect what happened this season. We all know about the terrible starting pitching, but that's a product of it. We all know about how the offense was inconsistent all year. That's a product of it. That's why you could not beat those teams. That's why the Marlins swept you in a series. That's why the Marlins came here in Philadelphia in that one in the middle of June when they went through that losing streak. And remember, they had a guy, I forget his name, the guy that wasn't in the league for 10 years and hit a game-winning double or a go-ahead double in the top of the ninth inning. A guy that wasn't in Major League Baseball for 10 years did that against the Phillies. The Phillies weren't able to hit against Marlins pitching, the worst team in the National League. When we really dissect what went wrong this season, it wasn't, oh, well, Bryce Harper was a little slow at the first half of the season. Oh, it wasn't. Like, Rhys Hoskins had a bad second half of the year, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't being able to beat these below 500 teams, these terrible teams, these teams that are the four worst teams in the National League. That's one of the biggest reasons why you're not going to make the playoffs this year. That's number one I wanted to get into. I had to get that off my chest. And again, we'll speak to Corey Simon about that and all other things at 6:30. Gabe Kapler. Yesterday. Freddie Freeman is one of the best hitters in all of baseball. Freddie Freeman is like a younger Joey Votto who doesn't get the respect that he deserves. Freddie Freeman is the best first baseman in the National League, and you could make the case for all of baseball. Freddie Freeman should not be pitched to with runners on second and third and nobody on first base. Freddie Freeman should be walked in that situation. Gabe Kapler's explanation, it was too early to walk a guy, which is stupid. That's bogus. His other explanation was Aaron Nola has good numbers against him. Okay, that's fine. you would think that one of the best hitters in baseball will finally figure it out. And quite frankly, Aaron Nola has not pitched like an ace in his recent outings. So why, Gabe, do you just think, you know what, this time, he'll get him again this time. Second and third, nobody on first base. You put one of the best hitters in baseball on base in that situation. Terrible decision by Gabe Kapler, who is apparently fighting for his job, right? All we keep on hearing is, well, we're evaluating everything. We're not going to make a decision with 11 games left. I get all that. But he's pretty much working for his job now until the end of the season. And moments like yesterday are part of the reason why I say this guy is not a good manager. Because he uses too much numbers. All right, Aaron Nola. Yeah, you know what? He pitches well against them. Okay, fine. You should still put him on base. That is the baseball move there. You don't pitch to him there. And yet, he does. And all of a sudden, he knocks two runs in. Phillies are down 4-2 in that situation. Bad move by Gabe Kapler. And now I have to see this lineup tonight. Usually I don't get into the lineups until later on in the show. But I want to give you a chance to react to this. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. I know I gave up hope a long time ago. I know there are a lot of Phillies fans that said they were dead a while ago. Some said they were dead before that White Sox series, and that's when I officially said that they weren't going to make the playoffs. People had them dead for a long time. Well, here's the thing. Mathematically, they're still in it. Mathematically, they're still fighting every single day to try to get into the postseason. The lineups that we're seeing tonight does not show fight. Cesar Hernandez batting leadoff. Why? I don't know. Well, it's because you don't have another leadoff hitter. Bryce Harper batting second, fine. Rhys Hoskins batting third, fine. Jay Bruce, who can barely move, he bats fourth as the DH. I'm going to say this. I know Jay Bruce is one of your better power bats, but when the guy literally can't move, I would rather use him for one at bat and not for an entire game as a designated hitter. But he's going to be batting fourth today. Hopefully I'm proven wrong. Hopefully he has his Kirk Gibson moment today where he can barely move and puts one out for the Phils. But he bats fourth. Gene Segura bats fifth. Brad Miller is back in the lineup today. Why the hell do I have to see Brad freaking Miller in the lineup for a second straight day? A second straight day when you are making a push for the playoffs? I mean, think about this for a second. You had Jose Perella in the starting lineup the other day. And now you have Brad Miller for his second straight game starting. Brad Miller. Is he his new like friend? Like it used to be Sean Rodriguez. Now all of a sudden it's Brad Miller. Bamboo Brad. The guy brings in a freaking bamboo plant. And all of a sudden he's one of the better players on the team, according to Gabe Kapler. Why is this man starting in the final moments of the season? 11 games left. He bats sixth. Scott Kingery seventh. Adam Haseley, 8th. Notice I haven't said JT Realmuto yet. It's because he's off today. He was given a day off. Andrew Knapp, my least favorite Philly of all time. I hate Andrew Knapp. Not as a person. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's got the mustache. He's a good locker room guy. Does the wave from the dugout because he doesn't do anything else. So he might as well just wave at his teammates. Andrew Knapp is in the starting lineup today. JT Realmuto gets a day off. I know JT Realmuto has been struggling. You name it. There are 11 games left. If the Phillies are mathematically eliminated in the next five games, then JT Realmuto can get a day off. When they are eliminated, JT Realmuto can go to the nearest golf course if he wants to. Andrew Knapp should not be in the starting lineup in must-win situations. Here's the thing. It's not even like he's a good catcher, right? How often do you see rosters with a backup catcher who's hitting in that 220 range, but he's a pretty good defensive catcher, and that's why he's on the team? Andrew Knapp can't even do that. I hope the Indians are stealing on him all day today. And he also can't hit. I'm hoping this is one of the final times I have to see Andrew Knapp in a Phillies uniform on the field. So that's your lineup tonight. Hernandez, Harper, Hoskins, Bruce, Segura, Miller, Kingery, Haseley, Knapp. And it's September 20th, 11 games left. It's not the middle of July. It's not the middle of June. Heck, it's not even the middle of August. It's September 20th. Gabe Kapler, if he's fighting for his job over the next week and a half. Yesterday wasn't a good start, and neither is today. 610-632-0975. We can talk about the game, sure. But really, I'm perplexed. I'm just so angry right now at the fact that this guy is still the manager of the team. Obviously, he's not going to be fired in the middle of the season. I get all that. I said it would be fair to give him the entire second season, and that's what they are doing. But if he's back next year, I'm going to have a problem. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Family Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Corey Simon will join the show today at 6:30. Make sure you climb in, 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Brad Miller starting the lineup today. That's just really funny at this point. I'm looking at the NL East standings. You know the Phillies are in fourth place, right? Right? Like, you know that the Phillies, they're not just 4 out of the second wild card spot. They are half game behind the Mets for fourth place. I just wanted to point that out there. The team that did everything they could to get Bryce Harper, to trade for JT Realmuto, you name it. This Phillies team, 5 games above 500 with 11 to go, is a half a game behind the Mets for fourth place in the NL East. Fourth. If that doesn't result in a firing, I don't know what else to tell you. I get it. The excuses are all there. Bullpen was hurt. Starting pitching was neglected by the general manager. That's why he deserves a ton of blame. Andrew McCutchen goes down. I get all that stuff. But there's no way this group, this trio of Gabe Kapler, Matt Klentak, Andy McPhail can return next year. At least not all 3 can return. One's got to go. There has to be some sort of statement made or the Phillies fans will lose their minds. Not only will I lose my mind, I've been losing my mind all season. It's already lost. I don't have a mind left. But a lot of Phillies fans that are waiting patiently to see if something happens by the end of this season, they will all lose their damn minds if all 3 of those guys are back after the season, especially if they finish in fourth place. Right now, nobody's penciled them in as fourth place. Right now, we're all thinking, okay, they're still in it for the wild card push, so let's see what happens. But if they finish in fourth place, something's got to happen. Now, I got a tweet from John L. He goes, "You're absolutely right. Not beating bad teams far below in the standings kills a team." He's right. And I'm right because I said it. Corey Seidman putting out that tweet. 18-17 against the 4 worst teams in the National League. 1 game above 500 against the 4 worst teams in the National League. That is terrible. And we'll speak to Corey Seidman in about 8 minutes. So make sure you stick around for that. 610-632-0975. But let me just do some research here on the fly with you. So Phillies are 18-17 combined against the Marlins, Pirates, Rockies, and Padres. The 4 worst teams in the National League. Let's just, for the hell of it, look up what the Braves have done against those teams. Because the Braves are the team that we were trying to compare the Phillies to this year. The Braves are a team that I personally thought would fall off a little bit. I didn't think that they would be, at this point, with 94 wins, pushing to 100. I didn't know they would be in that situation, and yet here we are. But if you look at those same teams, again, Marlins, Pirates, Rockies, and Padres, the Atlanta Braves against the Miami Marlins are 15-4. 15-4. The Phillies against those 4 teams combined have 18 wins. The Braves have 15 against the Marlins alone. Colorado, they're 3-3, so they only went 500 against the Rockies. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 5-2. And the San Diego Padres, 5-2. So Pirates, Padres combined, the Braves went 10-4 against them. 25, let's do some quick math, 25-8 if you add the Marlins, and 28-11 if you add the Rockies. So the Braves against the four worst teams in the National League are 28-11. The Phillies are 18-17. And they still got three more games against the Marlins, the Phillies do. And we know how that's gone this year. 610-632-0975. That's one of the other biggest problems as to why the Phillies aren't making the playoffs this year. It's not being able to beat up on teams that are just terrible. John in Hazleton. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew, how are you?
Hello, John.
I had to call you up after just hearing what you were saying. It is, you know how I feel about Crapler.
Yes.
That lineup, oh my God. What happened to the, if Real Muto really needed a day off, what happened to the catcher that they just brought up from the Pigs, who was hitting almost 300 down in AAA?
Yeah.
Why not throw that guy in there?
No, that's a good point. And the other thing I don't get is, remember, JT Realmuto this entire season, when the Phillies have played in the American League, when they've been at an American League stadium and they've been able to have the DH, they have played JT Realmuto at first base and Rhys Hoskins has been the DH, because Realmuto said he wants to play every single day, and if he is going to play, he would rather play in the field. He says he doesn't like being the DH because he doesn't want to just focus on hitting, and I applaud him for that, and he's done a good job in those games where he's played first base. So why not do that? Well, we're throwing Jay Bruce out there, but Jay Bruce can't move, so hopefully Jay Bruce proves me wrong, and I love Jay Bruce, and I love what he did before getting hurt the first time. But do you really feel confident in Jay Bruce as your four hitter who's going to be moving around like Kirk Gibson out there?
No, absolutely not. I don't feel confident in him at all. Plus, I guess Crapler's thinking, hey, we got Cliff Lee going tonight against the Indians, so maybe we got a good chance, because Drew Smiley. Well, that's Crapler's Cliff Lee, as he called him. This, he thought it was Cliff Lee the one time. I mean, come on, Andrew. I never thought in the 40-plus years I've been a Philly fan that I would say this, but I hope Cleveland sweeps them. That puts us out of our misery, puts us that far out of the wild card that we could just forget about them, and hopefully the next day after the season ends, he's fired.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the call. You're not the only one saying that, and I said it the other night when Dallas Keuchel was pitching. Now, the Phillies ended up winning that game, but when Dallas Keuchel was pitching against the Phillies, I said before, when I was doing the baseball show last Friday, I said, I honestly hope that Dallas Keuchel pitches very well, or on Tuesday, excuse me. I hope he pitches well, because remember the last time Keuchel faced the Phillies, he pitched lights out, and then when he was asked if he was surprised he didn't sign with the Phillies, he said, well, how can I be mad if they never made a phone call? So he threw some shade right at the Phillies front office. Because the Phillies front office didn't even make a phone call to the guy who was a free agent and who wanted 3 years at one point and a lot of money, went down to 1 year for $13 million. And they didn't even make a damn phone call. Dallas Keuchel was better than four-fifths of your rotation at that point, and is still better than four-fifths of your rotation at that point. And quite frankly, he's pitched better than Aaron Nola in the last six starts. Now I'm saying Aaron Nola is the better pitcher. Yes, Aaron Nola is the better pitcher than Dallas Keuchel. But you could have brought him in for $13 million. But no, we don't want to go to the luxury tax. No, we don't think Matt Klentak's evaluations. He's too old. It's not worth it. Why bring him in? Why bring him in? Now all of a sudden you have two competent starters in your rotation, because right now you have one and a half. And you know what? That half might be Aaron Nola. Zach Eflin's been pitching pretty well. Who do I trust more? Aaron Nola, more so than Zach Eflin. But there you go. There's your one and a half. I'll give the nod to Aaron Nola as the full starting pitcher. Zach Eflin is the half. The other guys can blow up any minute. They can blow up any minute. Dallas Keuchel is a professional pitcher who's proved himself in this league, and you didn't sign him. And that will continue to be a mystery. By the way, the starting lineup changed a little bit. I don't have the official lineup, but Gene Segura, we saw him hustle down the first baseline yesterday, and I applaud him for that. But then he got hurt, of course. So he messed up his ankle. He tested it in batting practice today. He's not ready. So he will not make the start. Scott Kingery will now play shortstop. He was originally scheduled to play third base. Mikel Franco will now play at third base. So you go Scott Kingery to short. Mikel Franco now in the starting lineup. He goes to third base. So that is the change in the starting lineup. If I see anything else, if I see, I guess, Franco bats fifth. I don't know if they make a total change. We'll see what Gabe Kapler does when he officially hands in the lineup card. But right now, that's the news. Gene Segura no longer in the starting lineup. Scott Kingery moves from third base to shortstop, and Mikel Franco will now be starting at third base for the Phillies. 610-632-0975. But yeah, I mean, listen, the Phillies have not been able to beat up on bad teams. 18-17. That's what, 35 games? And they're one game above 500? Whereas the Braves are, what did I say, 21-11 or 28-11? Like, are you serious? That's why we have such a big problem with this Phillies team. That's why they're not going into the playoffs. All right. Let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline and talk to the man that you can see on Phillies pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Read his stuff on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and the My Team's app, and follow him on Twitter at C. Seidman, NBCS. That, of course, is the great Corey Seidman. Corey, how are we this Friday evening?
Doing good, Andrew. You know, the season's winding down. The finish line is near. And all that talk for all those weeks and months about how there's still time left, well, there's no longer still time left. So every game from now until the end of the season to make or break for the Phillies. They need to begin with a sweep this weekend in Cleveland.
Okay, so why is JT Realmuto not in the starting lineup tonight in a must-win situation when every game here on outs must win?
It's a good question. I think that Kapler was probably just looking to identify one day off for JT over this next stretch because the Phillies play every day the rest of the season. They have more games than days the rest of the season because of Tuesday's upcoming doubleheader in Washington. If I'm trying to dissect why, the logic that I see in it is Shane Bieber is the best pitcher the Phillies are going to face this weekend. Thus, this is the least winnable of the three games. Thus, you really stand to benefit from JT Realmuto's bat Saturday and Sunday against Zach Plesac and Adam Plutko. There's never a good reason to sit your second best hitter, but it just kind of underscores that it can be dangerous when your second best hitter is your catcher because you need to get him blows. You need to get him days off. And if the Phillies had someone else other than Bryce Harper who had been a consistent, powerful offensive contributor in the second half, maybe this wouldn't loom as large.
Okay, so why isn't he not even in at first base? We've seen him a couple times this year in the American League where when they've played with a DH, Reese Hoskins has been the DH. He's gone to first base. I know JT Realmuto says he preferred to play in the field than hit, than just be a DH. Maybe sometimes you should just make him the DH if he's getting a day off. Like, what's going into the decision making by Gabe Kapler here?
Yeah, I would have thought that at the very least you would have Realmuto as the designated hitter or first baseman with Hoskins DHing, but the Phillies are DHing Jay Bruce in this first game because that's the only way that they can get Bruce in the lineup because Bruce cannot play the field right now, can barely run. So that is, you know, a way to get another left-handed power bat in the lineup. And the other thing, I guess, is that there is value to giving a guy an entire 24 hours off of his feet, not having to do anything. But if you're asking me for the reason why, it's probably because Kapler deemed that Jay Bruce's bat is more valuable in the early portion of this game against Shane Bieber than JT Realmuto's because of the left-right conversation.
So, I mean, I saw this on Twitter today, and we know Twitter's a fun place to be on during the day. When that lineup first came out, and then Gabe Kapler spoke about it, saying he wanted to give JT Realmuto a day off, why not like a week ago? Or 2 weeks ago, you give him the day off. Now, I know that's easier to say than to do, and especially we have hindsight on our side in this situation, but you're now at 11 games left. It's not like there's 25 games left and you're going to give him a day off. There's 11 games left, and you're deciding to give him a day off now?
Well, first off, days off for catchers, you have to give them days off, like, every week.
Right.
It's not like you give a guy a day off.
Which he hasn't really had any because Andrew Knapp is so bad.
Right. And, I mean, the Phillies have had a couple off days over this last week built into the schedule. But I would still point you back to the fact that Realmuto's caught more than 100 more innings than anybody else in baseball. He has like a dozen or so more starts behind the plate than anybody in baseball. So he has taken on a pretty unique and rare workload this season, especially in 2019, given how teams like to rest their catchers. There's also the school of thought that, you know, sitting Real Muto for a day, that it could re-energize him, refresh him, make him better offensively because he is two for his last 19. I'm sure that played into the thinking a little bit too. Kapler probably looked at Real Muto's recent swings and thought this is a guy who could use a brief respite. But look, we wouldn't really be harping on this as much if the Phillies had more else around Bryce Harper offensively. But for the majority of the second half, Reese Hoskins has not hit. The Corey Dickerson injury was a killer because he provided a skill set that this lineup did not have. So I think every day, really, the rest of the season, when you look at the Phillies 6, 7, 8, 9, you're not going to come away very impressed.
Speaking of Corey Seidman on the Comcast Business Hotline, now, one of the reasons why you are in this situation is not being able to beat teams that you're supposed to beat. And you put out a very interesting tweet earlier today regarding the Phillies' record against some of the worst teams in the National League. Of course, the Marlins being one of them, the Pirates, the Rockies, and the Padres, and then how other teams are doing against those teams. I want to give you the floor to just sort of give those records and then explain just how bad it is for the Phillies and how much better it could have been if they took advantage against these bad teams.
The Phillies are 18-17 against that quartet, the worst four teams in the National League being the Marlins, Pirates, Rockies, and Padres. So the Phillies are 18-17. The rest of baseball is 104 games over 500. So the Phillies are one game over 500. The rest of baseball is 104 games over 500. We talked early in the season about how success or failure against the Marlins could very well dictate the Phillies' season, and it has. Really, what's dictated the Phillies' season is their inability to beat those cellar-dwelling teams. If instead of 18-17, the Phillies were three games better, four games better, say they were 22-13 against those awful teams, the way that a good team should be, then you're looking at a Phillies club that is tied for the wild card right now. You're looking at a totally different final 2 weeks of the season if they could have just taken advantage of these teams that the Brewers now have the rest of the way on their schedule. Like, we've talked a lot about how Milwaukee has the by far the easiest remaining schedule of any of the wild card contenders.
Right.
Well, yeah, and they've also been cleaning up on those teams lately. They've been cleaning up on the Pirates and Reds. So if the Phillies just took care of their own business earlier in the season, they could just have put themselves in such a better position. A lot of people have asked me, why do I think that the Phillies struggled so much against the Marlins this season? My answer would just be that when Aaron Nola is not on the mound, the Phillies really never, ever have a starting pitching advantage. Maybe they have the starting pitching advantage when it's Zach Eflin against, like, a guy who just got called up who's, you know, a mediocre arm. But so often this season when the Phillies faced these bad teams, they didn't have the pitching advantage for the first five innings. So if the game was 2-2 and you keep a bad team in it and they start to feel themselves and think, hey, we just get one big hit and we can win this game, well, then anybody can win that game as opposed to going down and pounding those teams into submission early.
Speaking about Aaron Nola, last night he loses again. He got the loss this time, but the Phillies have lost his last six starts. Now, I want to ask you, Corey, even though three of those starts weren't his fault, the other three were more, so the bats didn't come to life, but then three starts, he didn't pitch to the Aaron Nola form that we are used to. This offseason, the biggest pitching name out there is Gerrit Cole. Do you think, personally, the Phillies front office, whoever it may be, whether it's Matt Klentak or somebody else, will they look at how the stretch run happened with Aaron Nola and how things didn't really go out in the Phillies' favor? Would that make them more aggressive going after Gerrit Cole this offseason?
I don't think so, because, like, I still think that they view Aaron Nola as their ace, as a guy who can be an ace moving forward, and I don't think that any team that had legit interest in paying the $200 million it's going to take to get Gerrit Cole would be swayed, one way or the other by the performance of a guy he's not replacing. You know, I don't necessarily think the Phillies are going to make that strong of a run at Gerrit Cole, just because if you sign him to a $200 million contract and then you sign JT Realmuto to a $100 million contract or $125 million, well, then all of a sudden you have three guys making nine figures between Harper, Realmuto, and Gerrit Cole. And yeah, you can sustain that, maybe, but are those the three players that are going to carry you to a championship? If you don't determine that those three players can be the core pieces of a championship team at some point over the next few years when they're all still in their prime, then I don't think that's a wise decision. I think it would be smarter for the Phillies to divide up the money that would have taken for Gerrit Cole and use it to sign, like, a Zach Wheeler, and use it to sign, somebody else in that tier, like a Kyle Gibson, guys who improve the ceiling and the floor of the starting rotation and help you win more than once every 5 days. If you're looking at if you ask me, like, my offseason priorities, I would think that I would rather, if I'm a team, I would rather spend that money on Anthony Rendon than on Gerrit Cole, even if you have someone like Alec Boehm in the farm system. Kind of, I would say the Phillies should explore that and then figure everything else out after that, whether that means moving Boehm to first or moving Boehm to left or trying Rhys Hoskins again at the corner outfielder or exploring a trade of Rhys Hoskins. I just don't think that going out and signing Gerrit Cole makes the 2020 Phillies, it's not the difference between, say, 82 wins and 90 wins. One player in a rotation isn't going to give you that big of a jump.
All right, what's more realistic, just because you brought up the Anthony Rendon, and I loved Anthony Rendon before he really took over that job at third base over Ryan Zimmerman years back. What's more realistic, Anthony Rendon being a Philly next year or Rhys Hoskins possibly being traded? Because you brought up possibly moving Rhys Hoskins, and I think that idea is starting to heat up a little bit in the fan, and at least out of the fans, because a lot of people are disappointed with the way he's produced this year. Is there a chance that Rendon's here and Hoskins is gone next season?
I would think that those two moves are contingent upon each other. Like, you're not moving Hoskins unless you have a better offensive player who's coming into that spot. And the reason I think it's unlikely is because the Phillies would be selling low on Rhys Hoskins. You know, he's going to be coming off of the worst half season of his career, of his short career, because he just hasn't produced much since the All-Star break from a power perspective, in terms of batting average. He's really struggled. And there are genuine concerns about, like, his approach and the fact that he never goes the other way, save for that home run the other night, his first out of 29 home runs that was not pulled. It's a tricky situation because there's some people who don't think Alec Boehm can stick at third base. If Boehm can stick at third base, it's a pretty open and shut case where you call him up, he's your opening day third base the next year, and you continue on with the young corner infield of Hoskins and Boehm. But if he needs to move, then all of a sudden you still need a third baseman. And you have maybe the best third baseman in baseball who's a free agent this offseason, who provides, again, skills that this Phillies lineup doesn't have. Like, the thing that I love about Rendon is that he can hit 330 like he has this season. He can hit 30 homers. He can drive in more than 100 runs. He can hit 50 doubles, and he never strikes out. Anthony Rendon has like 75 strikeouts this season, which
that's amazing.
You never see that from a guy who has that good of an offensive package.
Two more for you, Corey. Rhys Hoskins, back to Rhys Hoskins. He's a Scott Boras client. Is he a guy that's going to get close to the money that Bryce Harper got? Not the Bryce Harper money, because Bryce Harper is a bigger name and obviously has more production, but Rhys Hoskins, he's going to get paid soon. How much money can you expect Rhys Hoskins to get?
I'd have to go back and look at players in his exact position to see what they made, because, like, for example, Aaron Nola, the extension that he signed, came in lower than pretty much anybody expected. It was in that $40 to $50 million range. Rhys Hoskins, I don't think that his next contract is going to be nine figures. I would think that even if the Phillies do like a long-term extension with him, it might be something like, you know, 6 years or so at like $80 to $90 million. You have to really go in and look at what he's going to be making through arbitration realistically, what he could command the first few years of his free agency. Because from a team perspective, the reason you do a deal like that is to buy out 1, 2, 3 years of free agency at the expense of giving a player a little bit more up front. Because you got to remember, Rhys Hoskins is still making like $575,000.
Yep.
It's crazy to think about because he's established himself as a very good big league player, even with this second half that he's had, yet he's still making close to the league minimum.
Last one for you, Corey. Is this the last night we see Andrew Knapp in a Phillies uniform?
I'm going to say no, just in case he does play another game. Like, the Phillies are eliminated by the time that Phillies-Marlins series happens at the end of the year. I think JT's going to sit one of those games, but I don't think Knapp is going to be the backup catcher next year. The Phillies are in a bit of a roster crunch. That's a 40-man spot. If they don't carry Davey Grillon on the 40-man roster, they risk losing him, and I think that he probably has more of an upside even next year than Andrew Knapp does. I think that this is probably the end of Andrew Knapp as the Phillies' backup catcher.
I think a lot of Phillies fans are already celebrating by that answer. Corey, great stuff as always, man, and we'll talk to you next week.
Cool. Thanks, man.
There he is, Corey Simon on the Comcast Business Hotline. And I got the updated starting lineup, by the way. I didn't want to interrupt the interview. Got the updated starting lineup because, again, Gene Segura not in the lineup today anymore because of the injured ankle. So Scott Kingery slides from third base to shortstop. Mikel Franco now in the starting lineup. The top four remain the same. Hernandez, Harper, Hoskins, Bruce. And back into the five hole, Brad Miller has moved up. Originally slated in the six hole, he's back. where he's comfortable, where he batted fifth yesterday. He's batting fifth again today. That's just a joke. Scott Kingery bats sixth at shortstop. Adam Haseley will bat seventh in center. Franco bats eighth. And no, it wasn't too late to make the scratch to take out Andrew Knapp. However, Andrew Knapp is still in the starting lineup. He bats ninth behind the plate. Drew Smyly gets the start on the Phils. I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, tonight coming your way at 7 o'clock, Devon Givens and Joe Torte. They will be on all Friday evening from 7 until midnight, talking all kinds of things. Philadelphia sports, I'm sure Antonio Brown will be brought up. He was released by the New England Patriots today, but we won't get into that because we have the Fanatic Baseball Show. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. Still time to get in and bitch and moan about Brad Miller batting fifth today, Andrew Knapp being in the starting lineup today. I heard what Corey was telling me, right? Like, all right, you need to give JT Realmuto a day off at some point. What I didn't like was, well, they're facing Shane Bieber today, and this is going to be the hardest game for them to win. So let's not play Realmuto, and let's play in the next two games. So basically, you're punting tonight. You're punting when you have 11 games left, and you're four out of the second wild card. You hear what I'm saying? Like, do you get what I'm trying to say? You are punting. Even though you still think you can win with the rest of your lineup, I know, blah, blah, blah. You're saying, well, JT Realmuto is a good hitter, but they're facing a tough pitcher today, so let's hope he plays really well against the two subpar pitchers. And I get all that. I get all that math. And at this point, I know every game is must win, at least win a series, and maybe you can do that in games two and games three, but you are punting when you have 11 games left in the regular season. That, to me, is a problem. And it doesn't help that Andrew Knapp is one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life, and he's the guy that is the backup. That also goes back to a decision by Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler to keep him on the starting lineup. I mean, they really went into a third season of Andrew Knapp thinking it was going to be good, and it just isn't. I really, really don't get it. They got another game today. Drew Smyly on the mound. Drew Smyly pitched okay in his last start. Hopefully he can do that again. Oh, my God. It's just amazing. We're punting. By the way, Fanatic Deal of the Week. Fanatic Deal of the Week saves you money with a $50 gift certificate to the pub in Pensauken for just $25. Hurry, this exclusive offer from the Fanatic's Deal of the Week is only available while supplies last. Make sure you check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Let's take a look at the line for tonight's game. It can't be good. Can't be good in the Phillies' favor tonight because you're going into Cleveland. Cleveland, on the other hand, right? We're talking about the Phillies being four games back and they're in must-win situations. The Indians, well, they're right there for their wild card race in the American League. They are tied with the Tampa Bay Rays for the second wild card spot. So we talk about how important these games are for the Phillies the next three games. Cleveland is actually really in the hunt. You're in the hunt when you're four games out. You're even more so in the hunt when you are tied for the second wild card spot like the Cleveland Indians are. And it's just so funny comparing these two teams. The Indians are 90-63. 90-63, and they are the second wild card team. The Phillies, on the other hand, are 78-73, five games above 500, four games out. And they're not even the second wild card team. The Indians are. The Indians also have a run differential of plus 122 this year. The Phillies are at a minus 4, which is just amazing. But the line on tonight's game, Philadelphia in Cleveland, Phillies at the Indians tonight, Plus 180 for the Phils, minus 200 for the Indians. If you have a lot of money, I would put it on Cleveland tonight. 84% of the money is on Cleveland, just 16% on the Phils. Over-under is at 9 runs. I would actually bet the over with Drew Smiley on the mound. I know Shane Bieber's pitching. Maybe the Phillies can tack on a few runs and the Indians beat up on Smiley a little bit today. So I would actually bet the over for the Phillies in that situation. But that's just what I'm talking about. The Phillies are minus 4 in run differential, 4 games out. They're facing an Indians team that is more so a must-wins at this point. And we're still thinking the Phillies season is alive and well, and it's just not. And I go back to it. I'll go back to it one more time. The Phillies against the 4 worst teams in the National League. The Pirates, Padres, Rockies, and Marlins. They are 18-17 against those teams. 18-17. The Braves against the Marlins alone are 15-4. So that's 3 wins less. For the Phillies, 4 teams combined, 18 wins. 1 team for the Braves, the Marlins, 15-4. And as Corey brought it up, what we talked about before the season. And I remember these conversations. I remember Jason Stark saying it. Corey Simon saying it. Jim Salisbury saying it. Remember Jason Stark was actually the first guest of the baseball show way back when. They all said the same thing. The team who comes away beating the Marlins the most this season is probably the team that wins the National League East. Now, that's not 100% true, but it's true to an extent. So basically, it's the adage of the team that beats up on the worst teams in baseball are the teams that usually win their divisions. The Braves have beat up on the Marlins. The Marlins have beat up on the Phillies. Josh Rabick produced the show today. Great job as always. Thank you to Corey Simon for joining the show. Thank you everybody who called in and tweeted the show as well. Devon Givens, Joe Torre, they're coming your way next. Everybody enjoy a safe Friday evening. I will be back for the post-game show with Jamie Lynch following the Eagles. Hopefully win against the Lions. That's, of course, the game's at 1 o'clock, so Jamie and I will be on right around 4:15, 4:30 this Sunday afternoon. So check me out and Jamie then as well. Devon Givens, Joe Torre coming your way next. I'm Andrew Salchunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.